All right. Welcome, everybody, to this regular meeting of the Board of Directors for Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District. It is 4 p.m. on September 27th. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Vanessa, would you please take the roll call of the Board of Directors?
Director Trevino? Director Chavez?
Present.
Director Garcia? Vice President Fellow?
Present.
President Santana?
Present. So we do have a quorum with three directors present. Next item is the adoption of the agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Director Fellow, Director Chavez. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Passes on a 3-0. Next item is public comment. Do we have anything?
President, we have not received any written public comments. However, if anyone wishes to speak now, they may do so at the podium.
All right. Thank you very much. I think we will move on to the next item. Next, we have committee reports. At this time, we have none. Those usually take place in the earlier part of the month. Next, we have the consent calendar. Do I have a motion and a second?
Motion to approve.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Passes on a 3-0. Next on the agenda, we have something very exciting. A 7A, we have Pure Water Southern California Environmental Review. And I will pass this over for an introduction from Mr. Tom Love.
Thank you, Director Santana. So I'm pleased to introduce John Bednarski, Chief Engineer with Metropolitan. He's been with Metropolitan over 30 years. John, if I recall, you were very involved in the Inland Feeder Tunnel project, weren't you?
Yeah.
Well, it looks like you might be doing some more tunneling. We'll hear all about that. And I don't want to spoil your thunder here.
Okay.
Right now he is in charge of Met's engineering department, including the 150 million gallon a day pure water project, which he's here to talk to us about. John, Dr. Fellow will love that you went to USC, but never mind. No, UCLA. I'm sorry. See, now you're going to get madder at me.
You went to UCLA?
No.
My wife did.
No, John's a Trojan.
I'm a Trojan.
Trojan, okay, yeah. I knew you'd like that. He's got a master's in public administration and environmental engineering. Before I let you speak, I do want to tell a little story, and just as of yesterday. Yesterday morning, the Metropolitan Subcommittee on Pure Water and Regional Conveyance met. And John and his team had some mega presentations to that committee of the Met Board. Kudos, John. With those issues and as tough as those issues are and concerns with member agencies, compliments to your team and to you for getting through that. But one of the discussions was the drought mitigation portfolio. And I've briefed our engineering and our Water Resources Committee and the producers about some of these things going on, which includes this east-west conveyance concept. And I'm really amazed at the amount of work your team has done in a very short time on figuring out alternatives and narrowing it down the way you have. And I know it's been challenging for you. And I want you to know from one member agency manager, we really appreciate it. But it reminded me of something I worked on in 1989 when the Park City was growing, and I worked on a study for 10 different pipeline alternatives to get water into the Park City area. Not the magnitude or scale of what you're working on, but I know how challenging it is when you're dealing with that kind of engineering analysis. But I just wanted to compliment you on the good work you did the other day. So with that, I've set extremely high expectations for John, but he's going to focus right in. He's going to talk about pure water, not a lot of background on the project because everyone, has seen that, but specifically what's going on now and what the next couple of years is going to look like. So with that, John, go ahead.
Okay. Well, thanks, Tom. I appreciate the introduction and really appreciate the opportunity to speak to all of you today. This is the first time in your new building, and I was complimenting Tom. I mean, you did a wonderful job. I wasn't sure when I put it in MapQuest whether I was going to the right address because it didn't say Huntington anymore. It said another address. So anyway, kudos on the building. I just, again, want to compliment your organization as being one of our kind of anchor tenants for this program. You know, I've been working on this program since about 2012, but really in full force since about 2016, 2017. And every time that we came out to talk to our member agencies about potential interest in this project, your agency always said, count us in. You know, we need this water. We can see that things are changing in the climate. We can't always count on state water supplies to replenish, you know, the basin out here. So if you move ahead with this project, we're going to be behind you full support. And you have stayed rock solid in that. And I just want to commend you for that and thank you for that because, you know, we're now sort of trying to go through buffeting some crosswinds as we get closer to getting to the point where we're really going to start spending a lot of money on this program. People are really focusing on why do you need that 40-mile pipeline going all the way from Carson up to the Irwindale area? And so we always fall back on the fact that you're supporting this program and that you want a large portion of the water that we're going to be producing. So that really helps cement the legitimacy of the program going forward. So again, just thank you. As Tom mentioned, we had an update on Pure Water yesterday to our committee along with the regional conveyance programs. Tom asked me to just sort of synthesize it down to an update on Pure Water, so that's what I'm going to do. I apologize for the title because I just quickly pulled it off of the presentation from yesterday. I didn't get a chance to customize it for your board, so anyway, I apologize for that. So if we can just go to the next slide. So we are making a tremendous amount of progress with our partners, the LA County Sanitation Districts, the other partners that we're engaging, like Southern California Edison, the Army Corps. We need to find a pipeline alignment up the San Gabriel River. That's where we are now, working on that and resolving the last bits with the treatment process down in Carson, and then bringing our board up to speed, because within about 18 to 24 months they're going to be a point of choice. We will have finished the CEQA process and we'll be asking them to commit to this program and start spending our capital investment plan dollars on this program. So exciting times ahead, and it's coming very fast now. So next slide. So here's some of the things that we're working on now. We have actually taken the step of bringing on a program management consultant to help our team. We actually have a very small team at Metropolitan that's working on this project. And by small, I mean like 10 people. But for an organization, my organization has almost 370 people in it, and 10 are dedicated to this project. And we knew we would need support to manage this program. And so we've brought in a joint venture consultant firm to help us with that. And some of the things that they're working on is how can we build this program as efficiently and quickly as possible? And I know we're all anxious to get this water once we start producing it. And they're going to help us come up with that schedule and manage the overall schedule. We're doing a lot of work now to finalize and wrap up what does the treatment process look like down in Carson. And this is all being, along with the conceptual facilities plan, being worked into the environmental impact report for the program. So that's well underway. Several months ago, we had some questions about whether Southern California Edison could provide the power that we need to run the facilities. It's going to take about 80 to 90 megawatts of power to run the facilities down in Carson, which is a huge amount. And about 10 of that is just for the future electric vehicle charging. So imagine that. So there was some question whether we needed to go to talk to the City of Los Angeles and the Department of Water and Power about maybe talking to them about bringing power in. But Edison has since that time committed to providing the power within the time frame that we need. So that's really good news. We're getting ready to submit what we call our method of service. That's basically the request to Edison saying, this is what we need, and this is when we need the facilities delivered. And so once they get that from us, we'll pay them a bunch of money, and they will start working on the project for us. So that's coming along well. We are working with our partner, the sanitation districts, to better understand the water treatment process and who's going to take responsibility for which part of the process. They're a major stakeholder with us. This is the great thing about having this collaborative relationship with us. They're very experienced in designing and building and operating facilities. So we want to find out what's the right split of the treatment process, what can they run and operate, and what is in Metropolitan's wheelhouse to do. So we're working on that. We're also doing some miscellaneous activities related to sustainable design. We want to run this facility off of green power if we can. That's one of the requests of Edison is we need 80 megawatts of power, but we'd like it to be green power. So that's what we're going to be coming and asking you for. And so that's going to be part of our method of service request. Next slide. So here's some really interesting information on the pipeline. So we've got 42 miles of pipeline from Carson to basically the Irwindale area to what we call the Santa Fe Spreading Grounds. And you all are very familiar with that area. So we've been ticking off portions of that and getting the local communities and the cities approvals for the pipeline route. I'm happy to report that we have the first 12 miles approved from Carson through the city of Lakewood. So we got Carson City Council approval. Last week we got Long Beach City Council approval, and we have Lakewood's buy-in. So we have actually started design on the first 12 miles of pipeline. So we're taking a little bit of a risk because we're still in the environmental planning process, but we think it's a well-founded risk that will allow us to shorten the schedule. So 12 miles of the 42 miles is under design. Early next year, we'll be recommending to our board that we embark on some additional design packages as we start moving up the San Gabriel River. So all of that's really exciting and helping us to move forward with the project as quickly as we can. Next slide. So here's probably the elephant in the room, the discussion of a larger pipeline alignment. So for many years, we've talked with Tom and the other member agencies about how much water do you need from the program and what is the size of the program. And we had kind of settled in very early on a 7-foot diameter pipeline that would go from Carson all the way up to the top of the pipeline route, Santa Fe Spreading Grounds. And that would have the capability of moving 150 million gallons per day. In 2019, we entered into a letter of intent with the City of Los Angeles, and they expressed interest at that time to possibly put some of their water from their operation next into our backbone pipeline and allow us to move some of that water. At that time, the location of the tie-in was identified as the Whittier Narrows area, but the amount of water that they wanted us to move was really vague at that time. We couldn't really get a firm commitment because they were very early on in their planning process. Well, a few months ago, they came back to us and said, we're doing a master planning effort for Operation Next. We're not exactly sure what Operation Next is going to look like, but since you're building this backbone pipeline, one of our master plan alternatives would like to look at if we put 150 MGD of our water into your pipeline. And we said, well, we would be willing to accommodate you, but our 7-foot pipe is no longer going to work. We're going to have to upsize this pipe. So we had discussions with them, talked about upwards of an 11-foot pipe might be needed for that top 14 miles from Whittier Narrows up to the Santa Fe Spreading Grounds. We eventually worked it back down to a 9-foot pipe. So what we've come up with now is we're recommending to our board that we study not one pipeline diameter from Whittier Narrows to Irwindale, but actually two pipeline diameters. And that will both be covered in the CEQA document that we're developing now. So we're going to do one for 7-foot and one for 9-foot. I want to assure you we're not making a commitment at this point in time to go with the 9-foot pipe. That decision will be made at a later date. And what I've been asked to do now is to go back in and develop what we call a memorandum of understanding with the City of Los Angeles that will discuss this item along with a number of other items, but also give them a timeline to make a decision so that this decision on what size of pipe we're going to eventually build can't be dragged out forever. We know we have a finite amount of time to make this decision and begin design. And I would say that's within the next 12 to 18 months, we're going to ask the City of LA to make a decision. Do you want us to move that much water? And if so, we will go about designing a 9-foot pipe. If you don't, then we'll default back to our original plan of a 7-foot pipe. So I'll talk in another slide or two what the impact to the schedule is, but we're going to, in order to accommodate that in our current planning effort, we're going to need to go back and do some reexamination of some of the assumptions that we made. The engineers have to get back to work, come up with some new numbers that can be fed over to the environmental people, and they will continue and finish out their analysis. Next slide. So here's what we're talking about, and I probably should have brought this slide up a little bit sooner. So the tie-in point with Operation Next, and Operation Next pipeline is shown in that kind of magenta color. So the City of Los Angeles would be responsible for building that magenta colored line that would tie into our back, what we call our backbone pipeline. And the tie-in location would be roughly around the Whittier Narrows area. So the area that we're looking at is that 14 miles north of Whittier Narrows. And we're actually moving the pipeline now to terminate up at the Canyon Spreading Ground, because we're working on an arrangement with the San Gabriel Valley MWD that we would provide them replenishment water along with you all. And in return for that replenishment water that we would supply from Pure Water, we would be able to use their Azusa pipeline, which conveniently goes from this location here all the way right past our Weymouth treatment plant. And so we will repurpose that pipeline and then be able to send this purified water to Weymouth, a small portion of it, and then we can treat it at Weymouth and Deamer and then send it out into our distribution system. So that's part of a future endeavor, but this 14 miles is what's in question right now. So we're going to do the two designs for that. And if we can go to the next slide, I'll show you what some of the ramifications for that are. So our current pipeline alignment is actually very similar to the one that was worked up with your agency a number of years ago when you were exploring that project with the LA County Sanitation District. So I want to thank you again for kind of doing a lot of the original spade work, and we've kind of built upon that as our initial foundation and have expanded upon it. So on the left is our original concept, and the important thing to note is we're able to stay within the same alignment with a 9-foot pipe. The deal breaker would have been if the pipe would have been so large that we would have had to find a new alignment. That would have really set us back a number of years. So we're still able to use the alignment that goes along the San Gabriel River. The thing that's changing, though, is because the pipe's growing in size by 2 feet, there are some really narrow areas that we were going to be trenching through that it was okay to trench through with a 7-foot pipe. But now when we go to 9-foot, the width of that excavation is just too large. So we're going to instead have to do more tunneling to get through some of these tight spots. So you can see the tunneling goes more than doubles from 2.5 miles to almost 5.5 miles. So the effect of that is to really kind of slow down the construction process, because tunneling process just goes slower than open cut pipeline, where you just dig a trench, put the pipe in, backfill it, and you move on to the next. With the tunneling, you've got to set up a pit where the tunnel machine goes in. It's only going to be able to tunnel a certain amount per day, you know, maybe 30 or 40 feet per day, and then you kind of inch your way along. So that's sort of the thing that we're going to be working on now, is describing in the environmental document the technical differences between these two alternatives, and then working that back into the environmental impacts. So if we can go to the next slide. So here's the things that we're going to be doing over the next 9 to 12 months. And what we've told our board is that we're fine doing this additional work, but it will take us some more time, because quite frankly, we were at the final stages of just wrapping up our engineering and technical analyses. And now we're having to go back a little bit, redo some of that work, remobilize the team. So we're going to revise the CEQA documents. We're going to revise the conceptual design that we've done to date. We're going to spend about another $3 million to expand our planning effort to this wider scope. And the impact to the schedule of going to our board for the CEQA certification is about 9 to 12 months. Now, we're going to push our environmental team to try and meet the 9 months rather than the 12 months, but we wanted to be pretty transparent with our board. So it could be a year's delay, which would mean, and we'll go to the next slide, is the schedule slide. So on the top, you can see the original schedule, and you can see the environmental planning process in the upper left. We were actually getting very close to the end of that. Really, about this time next year, we were going to be going to our board and get that document certified. Now, when you drop down to the lower schedule, you can see when you add that 9 to 12 month extension, it pushes it out to about this time in 2025. So it's moved us a full year out. And again, hopefully we can push that back a little bit. There could be some delays to the start of construction, because we may or may not be able to start design as quickly as we wanted to. But in the top bar, what I wanted, before I move down to the second schedule there, is just talk to you about what our original plan was for deliveries of water. And this is what we've been trying to hold steady on, is you can see that orange bar is construction. So imagine in early 26, we start construction at the treatment plant down in Carson. We start construction on multiple lengths of the backbone pipeline. We start working our way from Carson, working our way up the San Gabriel River. At the same time, we're building the treatment plant. It was our expectation that by 2030, we could be making early deliveries of water to some of those agencies down in the Carson area. So like West Basin, Central Basin, City of Long Beach, some of our member agencies that are in that initial reach of pipeline close to the plant, we thought by 2030 that we would be able to make early deliveries of water, and that's what's shown in red. your deliveries of water under the original schedule were probably not going to come till 2032. That's when the backbone pipeline would be completed up to the Santa Fe spreading grounds. Now, under the new schedule, what we're seeing is that we're probably going to lose about a year on the schedule of making the early deliveries of water down at the south end of the facility. But the problem, potentially, is that because we're doing so much more tunneling now, there could be upwards of a two-year delay in finishing that pipeline up to the Irwindale-Santa Fe spreading grounds area. What I've committed to our general manager is we're going to try and push every button, pull every lever we can, bring all the tricks out of our sleeves to try and bring back what is now a 2035 date for completion and delivery of water to you all to somewhere closer to 2032. So that's a little bit of a work in progress, and I don't have a lot of specificity on how we're going to do it yet, but we do have a number of tricks that we can do. We now have the ability to use alternative delivery, things like design build. That could speed up the delivery of this project, and so we would look to use that in some of the pipeline reaches. We could look at another pipeline alignment, possibly bring the pipeline out from the San Gabriel River and put it in some of the city streets and bypass these really difficult areas to get permits through. We'd probably have to go back and do some sort of a supplemental CEQA document in order to do that, but if it takes a year or two off the schedule, we might be willing to do that. There may be ways to fast-track permits. We're working with the state of California right now to see if we can get them to engage up in Sacramento and help us permit this project faster. So I don't want to leave you with the impression that if we were to go with this 9-foot pipe, we're going to have a 2-year delay to the project, because we don't really feel that's the case right now. But we did want to be transparent with our board of directors and say there is this possibility. So anyway, that's what you're seeing there. And does that bring me to the end, or is there one more slide? Oh, so we're continuing our outreach efforts as we go along, and I'm hopeful that all of you have had a chance to go down to the demonstration plant in Carson. It's a great showpiece to understand the technology that we're planning to use and the importance of this project, and we're just continually out at events with our outreach staff. There's a number of events that took place down in the Long Beach area. We would be more than happy to participate in any types of events up here. So if you're aware of a good public event that might have an interest in hearing about the pure water, we'd be happy to come up here with a pop-up, canopy and all that kind of stuff and set up our information table. We're all about getting the word out as to why this program is important and why people should support it. And, we would just love to work with all of you and get that message out to the San Gabriel Valley. I know we've been up here before and you've probably seen our people out, but I'll put the offer out again. So I think that brings me to the end of it. Oh, we're pursuing funding. Let's talk about, everybody's interested in money, right? There's more. And this is a good news slide, too. So, okay, we're done with the bad news. Now we're on to the good news. So, to date, we've received $82 million in outside funding to progress the project, and we're using this money as seed money to get the design activities going. So, Metropolitan's board has not actually put this program into our capital investment plan, so we don't have capital funds of our own to fund our activities. So, we're relying on this outside funding. State of California was generous last budget cycle to give us $80 million. No strings attached. There's no invoicing that we have to do or anything. They just wrote Adele a check for $80 million. We put that in the bank, and we're spending that money now on the design of these pipeline reaches and some of the other activities we're doing. We've received over $8 million in partner contributions to the project. And what are partner contributions? So we have the LA County Sanitation Districts is our major partner. They've contributed to the CEQA process. We send them an invoice every quarter, and they write us a check along with their share of, the percentage of their share of the contributions to the overall program. We have partners on the Colorado River, Southern Nevada Water Authority, and also the state of Arizona. They've also been sending us quarterly checks as we progress the CEQA process. We're hopeful that they will become equity partners in the program at a later date, and our estimates could be upwards of $1 billion being contributed by the states of Nevada and Arizona to offset some of Metropolitan's costs. They would be very interested in seeing us leave some water on the Colorado River for them to use, and their buying into this program would allow Metropolitan to work out a deal like that with them. So we've got some other grants that are coming up. We've applied for a $5 million grant. There was also a $500 million set aside in the recent Inflation Reduction Act. that is available for us to apply to, and that was really set up by the senators from the west southwestern United States. So the two from California, Nevada, and Arizona, they were able to convince the folks that write these appropriations back in Washington to put $500 million aside for large reuse programs like ours. So now we have to apply to get that money, but that money's available now. So there's a lot of exciting things going on the funding side of efforts. Just as a FYI, we will be presenting in November to the subcommittee on pure water and regional conveyance. We'll be presenting the new cost estimate for the program. I think Adele has already daylighted, if some of you saw the interview with Adele, our general manager in the LA Times, the estimate of $5 to $7 billion. So we're going to be presenting what the actual number is, but it is within that range, Director Fellow. So just so you know, we're not going to have any surprises of being outside there. But this program's cost has grown. When we first talked to you all, the program was around $3 billion. We're now estimating it's around $6 billion. Some of that is due now to the inflationary trends that we've gone through. Some of that is due now to the fact that we know the exact scope of what we need to design and build, and so we understand kind of all of these cost issues. So, and then the other effort that's going on, and you should probably be aware of it, is that our CFO is now talking with the board about different ways that we can finance and pay for this program at Metropolitan and what's going to be the way that Metropolitan recoups its expenses. So typically in the past when Metropolitan would build these types of facilities like Inland Feeder or Diamond Valley Lake, those costs would just be spread across all of our member agencies. And so it would all be melded. We call it melding it across the entire rate base. That's our base proposal for this program. Also, because we think the program has benefits to all of the member agencies, not just those that directly take water from the facility. So that would be our baseline approach, is meld the cost across all of our water sales. But we've been asked by our board, come up with some other creative ways that we can look at recouping the cost of this. So that's what our CFO is working on now, and they're going to be making a big presentation to one of our committees in October. So Tom and others, you can keep an eye out for that presentation. I know. And then in November, we'll be coming out with the cost estimate. So there's a lot of good stuff coming up. And let me see. Is there another slide? Yes. There's still more work to be done. So anyway, this just kind of summarizes what we're going to be doing over the next several months. You know, there's a lot of things for 10 people to be doing. And actually, we have more that are working on it, but they're not full time. So anyway, I'll kind of wrap up there. I didn't want to take all of the time this afternoon, but I appreciate the opportunity to present. And happy to answer any questions.
Awesome. Thank you very much for the presentation. Do we have any questions? Yes.
Yeah, thank you. You did a great job yesterday in the committee I'm on, and a great job today. And I apologize if I was a little testy yesterday, and I can't apologize for Ms. Abdo, who spoke after me. But some of the directors got aggravated because yesterday it was the completion project. They're talking about 2040, and that is unacceptable. It's unacceptable, and I think it's unacceptable to Adele. And so some of us are talking about is if we could put some of these legs, you know, our concern is L.A. You know, we don't know what L.A. is going to do and if they're going to hold up this project. But if we can get started and maybe put some of these legs, bring them in later, you know, like Hyperion was another problem that we thought we see delays.
Yes.
But I was assured yesterday that it's not going to be a problem. But I did get aggravated yesterday that this is 2040 is unacceptable. And
Well, just to be clear, the 2040 date applies to that east-west conveyance pipeline. So that's another multi-billion-dollar potential investment that Metropolitan would look at, allowing us to connect the east part of our system, very close to here by the Glendora Tunnel, as we call it, over the Santa Fe Dam area. Connect that with the west side of our system. So what we'd like to do, and you're right, let's get some of these programs going. Let's not wait till everything is all sorted out. We know we want to do pure water. So let's start that as soon as the environmental document is completed. I mean, I think that's staff's recommendation to Adele also, you know, kind of separate some of these decisions.
We had nothing against you yesterday. Judy, I have to tell you, Judy Abdo, after I spoke, she said, Tony's right. We talk and talk and talk. We want things in the ground now. And so some of us got a little aggravated, but your assurance helps me get over that.
And if I could shed a little light on that, and I did brief our Water Resources Committee and producers on this issue, potential issue of there was, frankly, a tremendous amount of pressure from the West Side state-dependent agencies, City of L.A., Las Virgenes, Cayegas, to include those east-west conveyance alternatives in this EIR for this project. Right. That would have just blown the schedule to bits. And my understanding is that your executive team was adamant you are not going to allow that to happen. And I do remember Adele. I've never seen Adele agitated this way before. He said, no, that I will not let that delay Pure Water. So I wanted to ask you, you know, what is General Manager Hajikalil's position on the schedule for this project? For Pure Water.
For Pure Water. I mean, he wants us to be online by 2032. So, you know, he was displeased when we showed it going out to 2035. You know, he's really pressing us to make early deliveries to those south end customers, the ones down near the plant, as quickly as we can so we can get some early wins with this. So that's where I said we're going to be pushing all the buttons and pulling all the levers that we mm-hmm. can to bring that back from 2035 if we go with that larger pipe, right? If we mm-hmm. go with the 7-foot pipe, everything stays status quo. 2032 still looks good, right? But if the decision is ultimately made that LA wants us to upsize the pipe, then we've got to really kind of scramble to see how we can bring the schedule back. But he wants it to be as close to 2032 as possible. So he's not wavering in that commitment to bring it on as quickly as we can.
Thanks.
Do you have any other questions?
You know, we have a few participants on Zoom. If you want to raise your hand if you have any questions.
So LA has to make a decision, and they're the ones that make the decision from the 7-foot pipe to the 9-foot pipe. Is that correct?
They will make a decision that their master planning effort has led them to the conclusion that they would want to put this much water into our pipeline. So they're going through a planning effort, multiple options, of which using our pipeline is one of them. So we're expecting at the end of that planning process, they'll come out and say, we think the best option for our program is to use the infrastructure that you're building. And so we would like you to upsize the pipe.
And they have a deadline for that, and it can't
We're going to give them a deadline.
Good.
I just talked to my management today, and they agree that giving them a hard, fast deadline, say it's 12 or 18 months from now, that's all the time you get. Otherwise, we're proceeding with a 7-foot pipe.
Great.
And John, LA is not going to unilaterally make that decision. You have to agree with the terms and conditions of upsizing the pipe.
Right.
There has to be agreements negotiated
That's right.
You have to agree to allow it to happen.
Right. So
to agree to incorporate it.
Yeah, there's going to be an incremental cost of upsizing the pipe. And what I told one of the directors from San Diego yesterday, that could be on the order of $450 million additional that's needed to upsize the pipe. So I think our general manager would support having an MOU with them that would ultimately lead to them paying us that amount of money to do that incremental upsize. Hmm.
Madam Chair, can I ask, speaking of San Diego, I'm glad you brought that up. Have you heard anything? Do you think San Diego is not going to throw a wrench, especially to the upper district area? Because they were talking about, well, upper district should have to pay for that, $1 billion. Have you heard anything?
You know, they're one of the advocates that say that the users of the water should pay for the program. You know, I don't think that that's the consensus of all of the directors, but, you know, they would probably tend to voice that opinion.
And John, from a member agency manager's perspective, because this has come up in conversations, you know, Representative from Cayegas says, we don't benefit at all from Pure Water, and I have to counteract that and say, just upper district's demand on state project alone in recent years is 60 to 70,000 acre feet
right. Of
state project supplies that can flow to you guys. So don't tell me it doesn't benefit you.
Right.
You got me agitated now.
No, I'm glad you're spreading that message.
But so why should we have to pay for it? And my response to that, because they want this east-west conveyance, fine. Why should I pay for east-west conveyance? Why am I paying for Diamond Valley water I can't get, San Diego? Why did I pay for the inland feeder? And so this debate, it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. We'll have this discussion amongst, and it's really ultimately a MET board decision, but we as member agency managers are, you know, so the first time we're engaging in a dialogue on cost recovery for Pure Water is in November. Unfortunately, I'll be in Switzerland, but Patty's going to cover it for me. We'll be well represented. That discussion is getting teed up in October
right.
Under the Camp for Water. It's coming up under the Camp for Water process.
So we've known that that debate's coming, that discussion. How do you pay for it? How does Matt finance it? But then how do you recover the cost of it? What my message to the board and to the producers is, we are on top of this. We know what's coming. We don't know the outcome, but we're working on our strategies on, you know, how do we have a dialogue within the Met family to come up with the outcome, certainly that's in our region's best interest, but also in the best interests of Metropolitan as a whole. So,
yeah, I don't think Adele will allow San Diego to put a wrench in this whole thing. He is. I've talked to Adele a lot about this. He's adamant that this project be fast tracked.
Yeah.
So, but thank you, John. You do a great job.
Great.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, of course.
Well, yeah, that's a great question. So their goal with the program, as I understand it, is for 100% reuse of the water that goes out to the ocean. So they're looking for places to put the water. I think that if they were to put water in there, we would probably move it over to one of our water treatment plants, treat it there, and put it into our central pool. But they would look for some kind of compensation for that, you know, right? So we would give them some state water at a different location or something like that. But they're looking for places to put their water, quite frankly, and they're, you know, it's a very difficult and complex situation for them.
Sure, understood. I appreciate that. I'm just trying to understand it a little bit better. And I know you don't speak specifically for the city of L.A., but at least some context around it, because understanding that and how transfers would work within your agency
right.
in the water, I think is the same argument that Tom is trying to make today about us taking pure water and the cost being spread across the entire rate base
right.
for the benefit of some of the others who take state water projects specifically.
Exactly. And, you know, I think this is where Adele has been a real champion of kind of connecting, he calls it connecting the drops, connecting the dots, you know, of getting large programs like ours and the cities together to talk about how we can collaboratively use each other's infrastructure to move it throughout the region and not look in the parochial fashion of like, well, this is just the city of LA, this water can't be moved or used outside the city, and, you know, get past some of those historic hurdles that didn't allow these things to happen in the past. And so through these types of collaborations and with Adele and as the general manager, we're able to have those discussions. And hopefully that continues on.
All right. Do we have any other questions, comments? Yes.
John.
Yep.
You know, one of the things, and this actually came up in one of our community meetings, is as we start getting wet seasons, especially the wet seasons of this year, we are having issues with percolation rates, especially in the South Bay, Spring Mountains, and the Charging Basin. I'm curious, is there some sort of coordinated effort from the Department to work with any of the agencies and or county to see how we can improve the recharge basin?
So, yeah, that's a real interesting question, Chisholm, because we have been, you know, Public Works is one of our stakeholders, right? We're going to be relying on them to spread the water, especially up in the Santa Fe area. And they've been telling us repeatedly over this last year, the basins aren't available. And so that brings us to pause, like, can we really rely on the county, you know, year in and year out to spread this water in their existing basins, or do we need to actually look at maybe purchasing a rock pit or purchasing some other property that we at Metropolitan can control the spreading on, because we know this water from our project is coming day in and day out, and we can't, you know, thank goodness for Mother Nature performing this last winter. Everybody's thankful for that, but we can't allow it to really stop our project from being successful either. So we're starting to look for workarounds there, because we don't want to go to the county and have them say, sorry, we can't take your water for another 6 months because we've got so much behind Morris Dam. You know, that's just no good for us. Yeah. It's a non-starter. Yeah.
John, I'm happy you brought those two things up. Because yesterday, percolate, I don't know if you saw that one of the meetings with Catano, the whole percolation, you know, benefits or getting benefits for that. That is, Met is working on that right now. But I'm glad you brought up the pit, because I had some discussions yesterday And another, I'm not going to say who it is, because then I'll get a phone call, that Met is looking at buying a pit in Irwindale, because I told them, I said, we need more spreading grounds, and they, and especially in Upper District. And I'm very happy to hear that they're looking at it.
Yeah,
I didn't think they could or would. But
there is one pit that's on the market, and I know the county is looking at it. They were very close to pulling the trigger on it, but they didn't. It's called Rock Pit Number 3.
Yeah.
So that one's up for sale. But, you know, in the absence of that being available, I've asked my team to let's start looking for our own places where we can do our own operation if the county's not going to be reliable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. The county also partner in this project. They've also at one of the United Rock Pits had a slope failure, which has now caused some concern. And John, you may not know this, but I'm working with your operations side, Keith Nobriga, on this percolation issue, and it's expanded from our original conversations of improving USG 3 to looking at, you know, we need to find percolation capacity, not only for years like this when we've lost percolation rate, but also when pure water comes online. So, I'm planning to put that on the agenda for next week's Water Resources Facility Management Committee meeting. So I'll fill in more details then.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Chisholm. I wasn't really up to speed on the loss in percolation rates, just general in the basin. So, yeah.
Madam President, I have Patty Cortez with her hand raised.
Oh, yep, please.
It was an accident.
Thank
you,
Patty. Okay. This is changing gears a little bit. So you've mentioned that you've talked to a couple of cities about the pipe, and how have those conversations gone? And you first, I think it's like 27 cities or something.
Yeah.
Do you anticipate any problems with that? Or
no, the reports I've got back have all been positive. You know, they've been all the way up to the city of Duarte and Irwindale. I mean, they've gone from south to north. I'm not exactly sure of where they are. I'm usually brought in as like the closer when a presentation needs to be made to a council or something. Anything short of that, the staff says, you know, things are going pretty good.
Yeah, John, yeah. So John's like the quarterback, and I'm a lineman. So I did go to the Duarte meeting and director of the Santana. That's one of your cities. And Duarte did have some concerns. It was a very productive, in-depth meeting. It was quite a number of months ago because the pipeline comes right up by City of Hope. And concerns about vibration, noise, dust, and then when it gets into Duarte Road, that's a really tight traffic area. And then the pipe actually went under the city's yard, maintenance yard, which they had a few concerns about. But that was discussed, and then, John, your staff have followed up. They've responded. I'm sure they've looked at, here's some suggested changes that we can make to deal with those concerns. And so as far as I know, Duarte is comfortable. But that was a very good meeting. They had some legitimate concerns, and John, again, compliments to your staff. Very, very professional in dealing with that.
Okay, well, that's good to hear, Tom, because, you know, the instruction I've given to my staff is all of these cities and communities we go through, they're all partners with us. We're not going to come in and just say we're the 500-pound gorilla. We can make this happen. It's like, no, we want to have a dialogue with you. We want to understand what your concerns are, and we want to work with you as much as we can to ameliorate or take care of those issues so that they're not issues, even if it means we need to move the pipeline somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know?
And so the only city I don't think we've set up a meeting with yet because he was new on the job and was pretty busy is with Enrique Zaldivar, Baldwin Park City Manager, and his public work staff. But I've known Enrique for years, and we'll get a meeting with him when he's settled in now, so I think we can call him up and get in with him. And again, a metropolitan staff, when they are meeting with one of our cities, I mean, if it's with Public Works to iron out engineering details, you know, but if there's one like this meeting with the city of Duarte or a meeting with a city manager, your staff have been really diligent about letting us know, making sure that, you know, whether we're available or not, that we're aware of that that's going on. And we try and participate as long as we're available.
Thanks for the assistance.
All right. Do you have any other questions, comments? All right, John. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
I appreciate your presentation. All right. So, okay, we will go ahead and move on now to action item 7B, which is approval of general manager contract amendment. Is there any need for directors to go into closed session to discuss this at all? Or I think we kind of are good, right? Yeah, okay.
We took care of it.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Madam President and directors. Following the closed session and the direction received in closed session, we prepared a draft amendment to the general manager's agreement, and it's included in the packet for your action.
Okay. So now we take, so you say it's in the packet here? All right, so we are going to... Is this a movement and
motion
and a second? Okay. All right. So we have our amendment 3 in our packet. Do we have a motion and a second on that?
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And all those opposed? None. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, directors.
Yes. We had a nice discussion, and we're very happy with Tom. All right. We are now moving on, breezing through the agenda. Our next item is information items. We have press releases and news article packet. And then we have attorney report.
Yeah, thank you. Just for the record, I was asked to announce the terms of the amendment, and they will include a extension of term till 30th day of June 2026, and a increase in salary to $330,000 a year, effective July 1st, 2023. Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
Thank you. And as for my report, most of the work between since the last meeting has been surrounding the amendment for general manager's contract, as well as working on the property management agreement with Evelyn for the management of our building. Thank you.
All right. Any questions, comments for our attorney? Seeing none, moving on to engineer's report.
Thank you, Madam President. Yeah, just a couple items. I've worked with John Bednarski, and Tom too, for probably 35 years. He's top shelf, and he's been there a long time, does a great job. He's gone, I can say that. But he's a good, really good guy, so... A couple of items on the project to make sure the producers that are here know and the board members know. You know, Watermaster has regular status conferences with the judge, and the judge at a previous status conference showed a lot of interest in this project and this water supply. And just a month or two ago, actually did a field tour to the plant down to Carson. So we got full support from judge.
She was with us, yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Very it was great. So I'll make sure everybody knows that. And also, Chisholm, you mentioned about percolation capacity. Yes, we're aware of it. We are working on it. One other thing to note on that is that early on in this project, early on, probably 2 years ago, we did some modeling for Metropolitan, basin modeling for Metropolitan on how this project would work with different flow rates coming into the spreading grounds. During all kinds of conditions, wet and dry conditions. And one of the conclusions was that during higher flows of this project and wet years, like we had this year, an offloading pit was needed to percolate the water. So these pits that are being talked about are something that has been on the table for some time. And obviously, it's a good thing to do. It's not solved, but there is work being done on that, trying to get ahead of that issue to make sure we have a place for this water if we're going to be paying for it. So,
Hydrologic report in the packet. I'll let you know the key well elevation as of the 22nd is now at 227.0. First time in probably 2 months that it has not gone down. So we've described over time the what we understand the process of a balancing of the mound under the spreading grounds throughout the basin. And we kind of were predicting that it would ultimately slow down and then stabilize. And as we continue to put water in the basin, we'll see the key well start to go back up again. Well, we're at least at the point now where it's stabilized. It's not going down anymore. We don't expect it to go down anymore. We're going to keep putting water in, so we will be expecting it to go up. We'll wait and see, and we'll certainly report that. It did decrease. It didn't decrease this last week, but for the month, it decreased 0.7 feet. So we're seeing some definite balancing of water levels in the basin. It's very interesting. It's a great time to collect some really good information about how the basin does work. And the percolation capacity when they're wet this long. The key well is almost 50 feet higher than it was just a year ago. And so that's primarily local water. So that's pretty awesome to be able to see us put that much water in the basin. LA County's doing a tremendous job and continues to. Up in the canyon, we're pretty much at minimum pool. They got everything down because they're doing the sediment removal. So there's not much going on there. San Gabriel Reservoir, the inflow from the watershed, has dropped now down now. It's under 100 CFS, but that's still amazing for this time of year. We're in the end of September, and we're still seeing 100 CFS coming in. So it's pretty great. Again, a crazy year. Deliveries, USG3, almost 7,000 in August, and so far, not through September yet, about 4,200 through USG3 deliveries, about 200 CFS right now, with 70, 80 maybe going into Santa Fe and the rest going down the river. None of that water getting past Whittier Narrows, so it's staying in this basin. County's doing a great job with that. Rainfall, I reported before some crazy numbers because of Hurricane Hillary on the percentages to long-term average. Because time goes on and the long-term average goes up a little bit, the percentages have decreased a little bit. Now it's down to Pudding Stone Dam through this year so far is 760% of long-term average, not the 1,500 it was last time. San Gabriel Dam is about 870% of long-term average. So as we don't have rain, which we may have some this weekend, actually, if we don't have rain and time goes on, that percentage will drop down. During August, 74 wells were sampled under Title 22. Through the Water Master Administrative Assessment Program. During July, 53 wells were sampled, and we did not receive any new notices of new wells shut down due to water quality concerns. And I think that's it.
Okay, great. Any questions, comments? No. The San Gabriel River flows, are those all local water? Is that all local water, or is that
now that is imported water, USG3 water?
The San Gabriel River?
Yes.
Okay.
On the San Gabriel River. It's USG3 up at the dam. So the water you see going on Foothill Boulevard, if you go over on Foothill Boulevard, that's imported water now.
Okay. And that's the flowing down the river, because I haven't seen that in years.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's imported water going to Santa Fe spreading grounds. What they can get in the Santa Fe spreading grounds is being diverted. What they can't put in Santa Fe spreading grounds goes down the river, and it percolates in the river before it gets to Whittier Narrows, so it stays in this basin.
And so is that an attempt to, because since obviously we imported water last year, but we didn't use the San Gabriel riverbed. Is that to help with the percolation rates, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. I think John Brown will probably report the order that we have for MWD. We're not going to fulfill it, but we're doing what we can to get as much as we can.
Okay. And then PFAS and PFOA numbers in our local wells, is that still on the agenda, and when is that coming out?
We were going to put together a report on that, I think.
Yeah, so I think there's been Kelly, there's been another round of sampling, right?
Yeah.
Last year we did basin-wide sampling of all wells. There were those that were required as part of the order, and then we just decided to do baseline. So we will be putting together all that data. I think you guys just finished it in June, so we should have something to present to Basin Water Management.
Yeah.
And then we'll ask Water Master if they can share that information with us.
Yes, they'll certainly be shared. Yes,
or you can ask The Water Master board member can ask.
Yeah. It was a voluntary one-time sampling of all the wells, even though it wasn't required by DTW.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so it'd be there.
Okay. Excellent. Moving on to general manager's reports.
So there's not a written report second meeting of the month. Just a couple of notes. I will be out of town. I will miss the first board meeting in October. I'll be gone from October 10th, and I will return, I think it's on the 23rd. I think our board meeting in October, the second board meeting is the 25th, something like that. So I might be a little blurry-eyed and jet-lagged, but I will be back. And then Steve mentioned this decline in percolation rate is a big concern because it's prohibiting us from getting as much imported water delivered to the basin as we thought we could. And so it's really grown into a bigger initiative. As I mentioned earlier, I will give a more detailed briefing at our Water Resources Facility Management Committee next week on what we've been talking to the county about, Metropolitan. Steve and his team are really, doing the work for me on this, and we'll just let you know what the status is and what we're looking at, because it's even beyond this year is because of the county's difficulties acquiring another gravel pit for dedicated percolation for the Pure Water Project. I don't want to wait for the county or somebody else to figure out what's the solution. I want to work on that, and then we'll work with those partners to see what we can do to find an alternative if that pit is not available. So, Evelyn, anything else? Okay, all right. I did report to the committee. Good news on the elevator. Most of their equipment's in, but we told them we want you to start the Friday after our first board meeting in November. And I want you to be done by the first Sunday in December, so we will miss all of Upper District's public meetings. We don't have a board meeting the week of Thanksgiving, so then they'll be able to accommodate that schedule. I'm looking forward to getting that done.
Yeah. You know. Okay. Excellent.
Thank you, Ed. If Patty was here, she would have pointed out. If you look behind you, we have our logo in bronze. In the boardroom, I think it looks great.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
Very nice. Any questions, comments? All right. Moving on to director's comments. We'll start with Director Chavez.
I really appreciated that presentation from John. I was on the call yesterday morning. It's at 8:30. I think it went 3 hours. I learned more in the half hour than the 3 hour meeting. So it's terrific. I look forward to that. Still about maybe 12 years away. I don't know if I'll be around. I don't know who's going to be around. Tony will be around. That's for sure. So I welcome the good news, and I think the Upper District is a good partner there. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Fellow.
Oh, thank you. Yesterday was a very busy day at MET, but I'm just going to take one session that I was involved with. I had to be involved with. And after I won my re-election, the next day I had an ethics complaint against me. It's the first in my life. And so what happened is that a lot of people endorsed me on the federal, state, local level, the city councils. And I didn't pay attention to what my web designer was doing because I had to raise money and campaign. And when I get somebody who endorses me, it goes to the webmaster, and they comb the internet for pictures, and then they do a bio. And unfortunately, my webmaster took somebody at MET, Gloria Gray, who was my co-chair of my campaign, in front of the symbol at MET. And that was really devastating for my opponent who filed an ethics complaint. I think it was him. But I don't blame him because it's very hard to lose. But we had to go through this big investigation. $13,000 was spent. And the upshot was, it was really, in a way, I'm glad it happened because it warmed my heart to see MET I didn't know they liked me that much. They all came out yesterday. But the finding was is that I did nothing wrong except use that picture. And Adon and I talked about this months ago, and he said, Tony, it's in the public domain. And so he was the first to call me last week, and he says, I don't want you to talk. I just want you to say you're sorry. It never happened again because this is the stupidest thing in the world. And the ethics officer for months didn't want to put it on the agenda, which he said, first I'm going to redact your name, because he said, this is the silliest thing that's ever come to Met. And so what happened is I had to appear with the executive committee, and I was just warned by the directors who said, just file this and throw it away. And then they started to speak about me, and I thought that was very... it's like an Italian family. When you do something to Italian, you get the whole family. My mother used to call the mayor when I was the city councilman and say, why did you say that about my son? And I said, Ma, you can't do that. But it was very nice yesterday to hear Met directors talk about me, and Martha Ramos made the motion and Michael Luna of L.A. But it's very sad. This is a very complicated case, which I don't know if I should get into, but... at the time, I was told this wasn't against me. It was against Gloria Gray. And it's an anonymous. But when I looked at all the materials, my opponent's name was all over them. They're Xeroxed on his letterhead, with his watermark. And then I was told this wasn't against you. It was against Gloria Gray. And I don't think my opponent even knows who Gloria Gray is. So... there's somebody else, an employee at Met, who did this too, because they wanted to hurt her. And it bothered me because she had to put up with a lot of baloney. The first black woman at Met, and for 2 years she was badgered by certain people and directors. And then I get in the appendix of my complaint is all stories negative about her, which is very strange. There's nothing about me. But it's all about her. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen. And it bothers me that there is somebody at Met who doesn't like her, because I think she's been my friend for 25 years. She's a wonderful person. But it's just a strange thing that I'm going to just toss. But I was very happy to hear my fellow directors yesterday. But that's it. I told Tom I want to be transparent with you. And it's bad for me because I teach ethics at the university. I'm getting a theology degree. So it's kind of silly. But it's hard to lose an election. And so people do things to make your life miserable. And then they use it in the next campaign that they have to spend $13,000. But I know how to use those things too. So that's it. That was it all was all about. So thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. I know that we are happy that you are here, and glad that's over. I just want to also echo Director Chavez's comments about how great it was to hear about the Pure Water and Pure Water moving forward, which, Director Fowler, you're doing a great job of promoting that project as well, and looking to the details, making sure that San Gabriel Valley, Upper San Gabriel Valley constituents get the best from that deal, representing them. That's the most important part. And... Tom, you as well. And we have an IRP coming out at the water resource, the beginning of it anyway, at the Water Resources Facility Management, which I think is really going to help to really tie in how important pure water is for our area. So I'm looking forward to that and the discussion that's going to come from that. Thank you. And then moving on to item 14, do we have any closed session today?
No, this item was bookmarked in the event that the board wished to discuss any aspects of the amendment to general manager's agreement. But there's no need for that meeting.
Okay, great. Then we will go ahead and adjourn. Thank you very much.